That was a year and a half ago. My wife got me binoculars for my birthday. And that way I can see who's staying awake back there in the back. Hey, come on now. It's one thing to observe the birds in the backyard with the naked eye. It's another to look at them through the binoculars. And that's why Sandy got me these, because I like to watch the birds in the spring. Through the binoculars, you can see the detail. You can see the detail of the colors. You can observe the small, subtle movements that the birds make. And if you happen to be in the upper deck of a football stadium, these come in pretty handy. I wish I had had these about 3 years ago when I stood at the top of Mount Nebo with the Egyptian pyramids and Mount Sinai and Jordan with Petra behind us. My wife and I on the tour bus, we were there, and it turned toward Israel. And when that bus turned toward Israel, I mean, that was the real destination. That's where we're going. Egypt was great. Jordan was wonderful. The Sinai Peninsula was really hot. But when we turned and we're headed for Israel, oh my goodness, you could sense the anticipation growing on our tour bus. We couldn't wait to see Bethlehem and Jerusalem. But there was one more stop before we entered Palestine, and that was Mount Nebo. Now, I want to show you where Nebo is and show you our trip. Now, we went to Egypt, and then we crossed over into Sinai, and we actually stopped and took camels up the top of Sinai in the middle of the desert. And eventually our bus, actually we took a boat across this little strait here and then got back on the tour bus, and we headed up, this is Jordan, and headed up to the just east of the Dead Sea to right here. Let's go to the next map. Pop, there we go. And we arrived at Mount Nebo. And Mount Nebo is on this mountain range that overlooks the Jordan River and the Dead Sea, and you can see all of Israel there. It's really a wonderful place. After the excruciating hike up Mount Sinai, because the camel only went halfway, my sore knees were relieved to learn that the bus was going to be able to go all the way to the top of Mount Nebo. No hiking involved. It's a mountain just east of the Jordan, as you saw. And we got off the bus, and when we got off the bus, we were immediately just slammed by this cold, driving wind. And then we walked around this 5th century Franciscan monastery. There's the monastery. And when you walk around there to this lookout point, and even though it was a hazy, misty kind of a day, you could see far into the promised land. That's a picture that I took from that lookout looking over. And you can see in the distance there, I don't know if you can make it out because it's kind of hazy, that's the Dead Sea out there. On a clear day, our guide told us, from Mount Nebo, you can actually see the Mount of Olives on the edge of Jerusalem about 14 miles away. Unfortunately for us, it wasn't a clear day. Like I said, it was misty. It was cloudy. But I'm pretty sure that it was a crystal clear day when Moses stood near that very spot where we were and surveyed the promised land. Last Sunday, I told you a story of climbing a peak in the Rockies with a couple of college buddies. And I asked the rhetorical question last week, and I want to come back to it. Why? Why do we climb that mountain? Why does anyone climb a mountain? We climbed because it was there, and we wanted to say we made it to the top. In this second series called Climbing the Mountain, our focus is on another reason people climb the mountain and a reason why we climb this mountain together. We climb to see the view from above. You can see far from the top. And as we continue to seek and serve God together in this church, it's essential that we see what God wants us to see regarding this community and His vision for us doing ministry here. That's what this Capital Stewardship program is about, seeing from the top. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 4, describes Moses' last trip up a mountain. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region of the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I'll give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over to it." Literally, the Hebrew reads, "And Moses went up," going, of course, up the mountain. It meant climbing another mountain and standing before the presence of God there. This time it was Mount Nebo on the east side of the Jordan River. By this time, Moses is an old man. The scripture says he's 120 years old. But God had one more mountain for that old man to climb. And this time, God had a bit of a different agenda for Moses. The law had been given on Sinai. The plans for the tabernacle had been given there and had been implemented. Moses had stood before God on Sinai going up and down a number of times. He had seen the glory of God, so that when he came back down the mountain, the scripture says his face glowed and the people were just awed by Moses. But this time, God drew Moses to the top of Nebo to see what God had in store for his people. I'm always thinking these kinds of thoughts. I wonder what his wife said. You know, his wife was Zipporah. And I assume she was still alive. We don't really know for sure. She's not really mentioned much after the beginning of the Exodus story. But I'm going to assume she's still alive, and I'm going to assume that she said something like, "You're too old to climb another mountain. Can't the Lord speak to you in the valley?" But it wasn't what the Lord was going to say. It was about what he wanted Moses to see. So that old prophet climbed one more mountain, his body old, probably near worn out, but his spirit still strong. His spirit would strengthen his legs to carry him up that last mountain. I imagine it was a slow and halting process, one step at a time. There was no tour bus up Nebo for him. One step at a time, with frequent rest stops, before finally Moses alone reaches the summit, before he could see what the Lord wanted him to see. He had to make that journey, that climb up the mountain. In this capital stewardship program, we want you to keep climbing. I want you to climb higher. I want you to climb, and that is a metaphor for praying and seeking God. We're obviously not going to go find some mountain to climb together, although that might be fun someday. But I want you to pray. I want you to seek God. In order to see what God wants you to see, you got to climb. You got to go to that pinnacle, that place where you can see clearly what he wants you to see. Upon reaching the top of the mountain, the scripture says God showed him all the land. So from the top of Nebo, looking west, it's a breathtaking view. The Hebrew word translated showed in verse 1 is ra'ah. It's a verb that means basically see, but it's used in a lot of different ways. In Hebrew, as in English, it can mean different things and be applied in different ways. It can mean to literally see an object with your eyes. Do you see my hand? Or it can mean literally, it can mean something quite different. It can mean to perceive or to know something. See what I mean? Prophets in the Old Testament are sometimes called seers, those who have spiritual vision to see or perceive God's word and God's will. And from his lookout on Nebo, God wanted Moses to see in more than one way. He wanted him to literally see the promised land. And from the vantage point of Nebo, man, you can see far indeed. He could see across the Dead Sea to the southwest. He could see Jericho, which is known as the city of the palm trees in the valley below, and across the Jordan. And then he could see northwest to Gilead on the horizon. Looking directly west, He could probably see the city on a hill that the Jebusites inhabited that would one day be captured by King David and become Jerusalem. Having been on the top of Nebo and looked over that same view, it brings a question about the text to me, because it says, it reports that Moses also saw the Western Sea. And that's referring to the Mediterranean. Now, even on the clearest of clear days, there's no way to literally see that far. It would be 60 to 70 miles. So either God gave Moses Superman eyesight and that he could see, or by sea, the text means also to grasp or understand all that God included for Israel in the promised land. Moses sees not only land below him, but he sees into the past and he remembers the promise of God to his forefathers. This is the land that I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob when I said I'm going to give it to your descendants. I suspect he thought about all that God had brought him through and the people through, from keeping sheep in isolation in the Sinai desert to confronting the most powerful monarch in the world, the Pharaoh, to crossing the Red Sea, to going up Sinai where he received the commandments, to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, to finally reaching the boundary line of the promised land. He sees forward the vision that God has for Israel, what is yet to come. God tells him, I've let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not cross over into it. Now, I've always viewed that last statement, you will not cross over into it, as one of great sadness. See, in the very next verse, I stopped before we got there in the text today, but in the very next verse, verse 5, Moses dies on the mountain. It was a 40-year journey from the burning bush to Nebo, with many glorious moments and some monumental trials and disappointments. Now he can see the goal, the final destination is within reach. And God says, you're not going to be the one to lead them across into the promised land. How bitter that disappointment must have been. Well, that's how I used to look at this. That's how I viewed the fate of Moses when I was younger. I'm not so young anymore. I'm not nearly as old as Moses at that time, but I have come to view this last statement a bit differently. Because what I think is this: Moses received an incredible blessing, a gift from God in the last moments of his life. He got to see with his own eyes what God wanted him to see. He got to see the direction God was leading the people that Moses loved. He got to see not only the land, but the purpose and the plans that God had for Israel. He got the gift of the assurance from God that his life had been worth living, that he'd been a part of something far greater than himself, and that was destined to continue on and eventually become the means through which God would bless all people. So, in the end, did it matter whether Moses died on Nebo or Sinai or some mountain in the promised land in Palestine? Did it really matter whether he lived a few more years or not? Did it matter that he didn't get to physically cross the river into the promised land? I don't think so. What matters was the gift God gave him, the vision God gave him for Israel. He was able to see what God saw. I want that gift. I want to see what God has for this congregation today. It's exciting to look at a floor plan of a building that we're hoping to build, and they're in the foyer there, and you can look at them, and that's great. It's good to look at the artwork showing what the building maybe kind of is going to be like. It's fun to imagine this property fully developed and operational for the kingdom of God. That's like standing at Nebo and looking down across the river into the valley and seeing the land. That's exciting. But what I really long to see is what happens next. How God leads us to do ministry in what we build. And how the next generation will build on this foundation. I want God to show us that our work has been good, that we've been faithful, that He's touched lives, that He's restored faith, that we've preached the gospel with our words and our lives, and we've made a difference. We've made a difference today, in this time, in this place, to His glory. That's the vision that I want to see. Don't you? Nobody cares. And nobody's going to remember my very best golf scores. Nobody's going to care, and nobody's going to remember how many graduate degrees I had, all the books that I read, the movies that I liked, the vacations that I took. And look, there's nothing wrong with those things. God gives us rest. He recharges us through activities like that. But what I do here, what we do here together, will not be forgotten. What we do here has the potential to go on and on and on into the next generation and the next and the next. We're part of something bigger than ourselves, something of eternal value, something that makes a difference today and tomorrow and forever. Don't you want to be a part of that? So we climb the mountain. We climb that metaphorical mountain through prayer and seeking God like we've never sought Him before, to see what God wants us to see. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, if God were to take us to a mountaintop that overlooked Pflugerville, Round Rock, North Austin, Hutto, what would we see? Now, you have to use your imagination. There aren't any mountains east here. Not for a very, very long way. But I wondered, what would the view from above look like? Literally. And I found a few pictures. Imagine we're on a mountain just east of Pflugerville, looking west. That's the lake. And in the distance, you can see the city. And you can see new neighborhoods. What a view. What a wonderful land that we live in. And then God hands you binoculars. And He says, take a closer look at this land. And what you see is a growing number of neighborhoods. What you see is a healthy marketplace. Mostly healthy. What you see is families and family life. What you see is a great school district. Apology to Hendrickson, my people. What you see also, he says, let's focus. What else do you see? You see people. People who need help and hope. And the gospel. This church stands for help, hope, and the gospel. And God willing, to this current facility will be added a new one, an additional one. Last Sunday, there was one point to the message, just one. So if you missed last Sunday, be sure you get your baggie of goodies. We've got a bag of a tote bag full of stuff in the foyer. If you didn't get one for your family, please pick one up. And if you missed the message, it was really simple. Climb higher. Meaning pray, even fast, and seek God like you never have before regarding this church, the ministry we do here, and your part in it. Now, before you determine what you will give to any kind of building program or fund. I simply want you to ask God to show you what He wants you to see. What you see in our community and what He has in store for this church and your part in it. I'm asking each one of you to climb higher and experience the view from the top. It's a good view. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look back and remember sometimes the 14 years that we've been here, been a part of Pflugerville Community Church. You have blessed us in so many ways. You've always provided. You've done good work here, good ministry here, good work in our own hearts, good work in this community through us. And now, Lord, we want to seek You like never before and ask that we would be able to see clearly what You want us to see, and that we would hear Your voice calling us to be a part, even if it means sacrifice. Lord God, I pray that this church will become all that You intend it to be to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a different series of messages, and you've got the drift of that, I'm sure, because this series that goes through the end of this month is about us as a community of faith and our parts in it. Here's the blessing. May God give you the faith and the courage to climb higher and see what He wants you to see. Amen.